Just one song. That's all about that's good out of it, probably. All right. Well, we're going to start a series today that we've been talking. Well, we've mentioned that we're going to get into it soon. It is called How to Tie Your Shoes. No. End of Age. End of Age. Some of us, when I say end of age, what comes to mind is end times, which they're not really incorrect in that. Some could say the day of the Lord, these three different things. I like to camp on the title End of Age because it seems to be a little bit more clear to what we're going to talk about. It's three series. I don't think we may go longer. If we do, we'll go into the new year. But it's something we need to talk about. Amen? Because there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there. Can you put that slide up? This is what we've come, and I knew it might get blurry, so that's why I wrote it down here. All right, end of an age. So I'm just going to give you the title and the anchor idea in this series. It's a culmination of a period of time or current world order. Culmination of period of time. We're living in one right now, right? It's all that culmination, accumulation, or current world order leading to an significant events in God's divine plan, including the return of Jesus, the final judgment, and the fullness of the kingdom of God on display. There's a lot there. And I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit to get it out right. In order, I mean, at the end of the day, with everything and the different doctrines that come out of this and into times, and, you know, I think we can all agree on a few things, but here's the arch of this series. That God is going to sort it all out, one. That Babylon is going to fall, two. What do I mean by Babylon? The systems, the kingdoms of this world that infiltrate our minds and our soul. It's going to fall. There's nothing greater than our God. And then judgment's going to happen for all of us. And then after judgment, we are going to see the full revelation and fullness of Jesus. And he's going to see the fullness of us as his followers. So I think no matter where we go with some of these doctrines of eschatology, of different things we can talk about, we all can pretty much agree on that. So at the end of every day, we should be peace. There should be peace in that. That as much as there's chaos going around us, hit it again. God's going to sort it out. Babylon's going to fall. Judgment's going to come. And Christ will be fully revealed to us, and then we're revealed fully to him as sons and daughters of the Most High. If we can keep that in perspective, I think we'll have more unity in the body of Christ. Because there's denominations that get split over end times, end of age. And God is not a complicated God, the last time I checked. He's simple because he created our minds to be pretty simple too. So I wanted to start this series. Let me tell you what this series is not going to be, so you can leave if you need to right now. The series is not going to be to instill fear in you. Because if you are what are we singing and talking about? If you are a child of God, God's going to sort it all out. Babylon's going to fall. Judgment's coming. And Christ is going to be fully revered to us and us to him. So there shouldn't be any fear in that. If it is, you're holding on too much to your life. That's another message. We need to value it. But Jesus was very clear. Deny yourself as a follower. That's a whole other message. We won't get into that right now. What was I saying? The message is not going to instill fear. If it's instilling fear, then hopefully it brings you to your knees right here while I'm talking. Because you need Jesus, right? But if you're a child of God, and if you do need Jesus, come up and pray afterwards. We want to have you surrender your life to a loving God that loves you so very much, that brought his son to a cross to die to you, for you, to pay for your sins that we didn't deserve, to be taken away from us, to go down into death and defeat death itself for you and I if we were in sin, and raised from the grave as we celebrate on Easter. A resurrected human divine being came out of his own grave. Some of us need to be reminded of that. And then he ascends to heaven, and he's coming back. You need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. But it's not to instill fear if you're a child, a follower of Jesus. Next thing. I am not one, nor am I an expert, nor do I want to be an expert, to give you 25 things that need to happen before Jesus returns. Mostly what I find when Jesus is returning, sorry, this is my Bible today, is in the Bible. We can get lost in signs that paralyze us for what we're being called to do right now and until our last breath or Jesus returns. I'm not saying they're wrong, but if we don't have some anchors in some things, we can get lost very easily. We can be lost in geopolitics of things. We can get lost in this and that. And oh, he's coming soon because this happened. Yeah, you may be right, but you should already know he's coming. So you need to get ready now. So there's an urgency to this message, if anything, when we're said and done, that says, wow, I'm hearing like the apostles Paul and Peter, what was their main sermon topics before they were persecuted and died? It was, Christ is coming soon. That was most of their anthem in their messages that we see. Yes, it was building up the certain things of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that we need and the fruits of the Spirit, but along of the tone was, he's coming back soon. Are you ready? And we see that daily. I will prophesy this that I've done before. I will prophesy that we are closer to him coming today than we were yesterday. That's a given, right? But he's coming. Here's where it gets narrowed down. When we begin to look at end of age, again, end of age, like we just said that. There's an end to something happening when end of age happens, but then there's a beginning of something great. Time as we know it is stopping. Most of time is just a guidance of the sin decay that's in this earth. Because in the presence of God is fullness of joy, and there's no 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, eating time. These are things you gotta remember. God doesn't work in time that we know. And that began when sin fell into Adam and Eve right away. So that time is going to stop and something new is going to be beginning. And most of that beginning of what is going to be happening is the fulfillment of prophecy, promises that are undergirded by the covenant that God had made since day one. God will not be mocked and he will never forget his commandments and promises. And the end of time is like we can come and say, when's he coming so soon? And I understand that. But he's not an indecisive God this morning. He said, I set covenants from the Garden of Eden to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to Jesus, and the new covenant that we are experiencing now. And there's some promises that are within some of these covenants that I'm going to be fulfilling yet, and I have not done yet. And part of that fulfillment is the return of Christ and everything coming. God sorting it out. I know I'm redundant here. God sorting it out. Babylon falling. Judgment coming. And Christ fully being revealed to us. And we as Christ followers being revealed to him as a reward. Wow. So God knows what's going on planet Earth right now. He's not looking in a bowl of aquarium that he says, I feed you guys every morning. He knows what's going on. And the discernment of that is what's important. But we can get lost in some signs too. Not that they're wrong. I said, Pastor Chris, not that they're wrong. But we can get lost in them if we don't have anchors in some main things that God's calling us to do. Simple lesson. if I put these on, other than me looking cool and stupid right now, what are these? These are sunglasses, right? Sunglasses. No trick question, I think. Sunglasses. I'm going to read the Bible right now. I can't read anything right now. These lenses are only good for one thing, to keep the sun out. I'm not an ophthalmologist, but I take these things, will keep the sun, but they won't help me read because I need reading glasses. When I first started needing reading glasses, and I wasn't allowed to leave the house with these because of what they look like. I look like a retired Harvard professor or Harry Potter, whatever. So I, between the two, there, whatever. I said Harry Potter in church. Oh my gosh. These are my first prescription lenses of reading because I was starting to get what? Old. Right? This is a different lens from this lens, right? This keeps the sun out. It makes me look cool. This doesn't make me look cool, but at least I could start reading. I could start reading as my eyes needed corrective lenses, right? And then at some point, I still got older and older, so I needed more depthier. I'm not an ophthalmologist. I needed more help with my reading to go deeper. Three different lenses here. What I want to say today and what we will in the next few weeks is, what lens are you looking through when we're looking at the end of age? Because it's very important. Doesn't mean you're not saved and you're not meeting Jesus and all this, but what lens are you looking through? It's important, because sometimes when we look through the wrong lenses, we're too far focused on, either two things happen. Boy, this isn't my notes. Either two things happen. One is I can't see the details in things. Or two is it won't let me see clearly the light that's in front of me. It doesn't mean we're not Christ followers. Please hear that. Pastor Chris said, if you don't think through these lenses, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to be part of this eternal citizen. I am not saying that. If people say that, then they're creating division. But it is important. There is some lenses you need to know, that you may need deeper lenses to go deeper in what God's trying to say, though, if that makes sense. Paul talked about the meat of the word, the maturity of saints and all these things, and Peter did as well too. It's so important. And what I would like to pose in these three sessions, I already went off my notes. I don't even know where I am now. Here we go. Here, I want to pose two different lenses to you. And I'm not going to tell you which lens you should be looking through. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit leads you into what you should be seeing through. See, the modern Western church has done a great job, and even in our organized religion, that leads that you always need to hear from the loudest guy speaking in the room to know what to do next. And that's true. We get anointed. We pray it up. I'm fasting right now, so if you hear the stomach rolling, it's not the Holy Spirit. It could be. But I mean, we anoint ourselves as best we can to preach the good news and what we believe we want to lead you in. But you need to start reading your Bible from Monday to Saturday too. Because it's in here. And what's happened in the Western church is we've relied either on sound bites too much or loud whatever. And we've become accustomed, and in organized religions, we won't name names, that I'm waiting to, my feeding is only happening in the sanctuary of what God's trying to tell me. No, He's waiting to talk to you Monday through Saturday. You just got to pick the book up and read it. But the problem is, if you have a preacher or churches or organized religion that have a weird, an interesting lens on, they're teaching something over here that sounds good, it's scriptural to back it up, everything's there, but it may not be the depth that you need of what God's trying to say for the time that you're in. And if it's uncomfortable, then that means it's probably God talking a little bit. Because I know for me, I'm like, ugh! So I tread lightly in what we're about to get into with a lot of prayer and supplication and whatever else and the fasting that we're doing. But I'm going to talk about two different lenses that you can look through. And one is very predominant through the Western church. So you'll know that one right away. You ready? The first lens you can look through is heaven up. We're making it very simple here. Heaven up. What do you mean, Pastor Chris? Well, that lens, if I do heaven up, the filter that I look through in this lens, again, we're getting back to the illustration of lenses. The filter of that lens is more, if it's heaven up and what I'm seeing my lens through, which is not wrong, I'm not saying that, but let's break it down. That your filter is more in a rescue and rest type of thinking. Rest and rescue. If I'm thinking heaven up and that's where I'm going when I die or when Jesus comes back, my posture and everything and how I view scripture sometimes will be that I've been rescued from death. That's not wrong. And that when I get rescued and I go to heaven, I'm going to rest. That's one lens. And we'll prove scripture about that. It's truth. Rescue and lens. So everything I kind of filter my eyes through in Scripture is going to be exactly what this is. We're going to go to Romans 10, 6 through 10. Can we put that up? This is a Scripture that we know very well. I'm not going to dissect it, but we're just going to go through some validation that is okay to think like that. It's okay. That's truth. Watch. I mean, we know this. By faith, way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, you will not go up to heaven. This is Paul pretty much trying to tell the Christians in Rome that salvation is available to everybody. Jews, Gentiles, those far from God, Samaritans, whoever's in this, in his voice that can hear this. Romans 10 is saying salvation is for everybody. And it's true. You will go up to heaven, but bring Christ down to earth. Keep going. And don't say who will go down to the place of dead. He's just talking about Christ up and down and who gets to do that. Continue. The message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart. And here's what we're familiar with. And that the message is the very message about faith that we preach. Continue. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right there it says we can be saved. Right? And we hold fast to that, our declaration, our heart. That scripture is, we won't get into it too much, but it's saying you can be saved. So if I'm looking for the lens of heaven up, it's not untruthful. Paul said, I can be saved, right? No true questions. How about John 14, 1 through 7? We're seeing why, again, almost surgery here. We're seeing why, what if I look through the lens of heaven up, as we look at the end times, end of age, I have scripture to back why I'm looking through those lenses. Don't let your heart be troubled. We know this well. Trust in God. Trust also in me. This is some of Jesus' final moments with his disciples. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? King James snuck in the word mansions. Continue. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me. Where I am, continue, and you will know the way to where I'm going. And then you've got some disciples scratching the head. Continue. Now, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so that how can we know the way? Keep going. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Keep going. If you have really known me, Jesus continues, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and you have seen me. That's enough. We'll go right there. So Jesus is saying, I'm going somewhere, most likely heaven, and that's okay. That's where he is. Jesus is in heaven right now. But we have to remember there's a human being, divine human being in heaven right now. That's crazy. Ascended to heaven. That's crazy. So there's plenty of scriptures that say, and even Pastor Mike did such a great anointed message on the cross. These are all powerful things, and the cross and what's important there. And that's all true. But again, if we are going to look at end times, end times is this theory. And it's right, but I interject the words. Is everybody still with me? I'm confused. Okay. End times, to most doctrinal things, or what it means, is that every 2000-ish. I know when I'm late for something, I'll be there at 11:30-ish. We'll finish the message today around 2-ish. Just kidding. So every 2,000 years, something shifts, spiritual and the physical realm. Adam and Eve, Noah, right? Noah, go build a boat. Then another 2,000-ish years, you have Abraham, and these are all covenants being, I don't want to get into it right now like earlier, but, and then you have Moses, then you have Jesus, born, died about 2,000-ish years ago. So the thinking is, we're in that 2,000-ish year right now, which makes sense. So that's what in times would be. So I'll refer to that too and interchange that. But at the end of the age, we need to make sure we're looking through a more deeper lens. And here's lens number two. Are you ready? We're going to go a little bit over today. I'm not apologizing yet. I'm told I'm not supposed to apologize. Lens number two. Let me find lens number two. It's here. So again, first lens is heaven up. Second lens is, I know it's here, sorry. It is, I know what it is, I just want to make sure I got my notes, is kingdom down. So I've just talked about heaven up lens, now we're talking about a deeper lens of kingdom down. The filter on the kingdom down lens is usually about being reborn and restored. So a lot of R's. Heaven up was about what? Rescue and rest. Kingdom down is about reborn and restored. Jesus was very clear when he was having, Jesus was very clear. You remember Nicodemus, some of you. Nicodemus was that Pharisee was really beginning to hunger and say, this Jesus of Nazareth, he's something more than another false prophet. While all the other Pharisees were thinking he was a false prophet. So Nicodemus in John 10 or John 3, we don't have to go into it right now, but he arranges a meeting at night with Jesus to say, whoa, what are you? Why are you here? Things like that. And Jesus says very clearly, he says, unless somebody is reborn, they cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Kingdom. And Nicodemus is like, wait a minute, I was already born once. What were you talking about? This physical? He's like, no, the birth, Jesus says, the birth I'm talking about is a spiritual birth, new birth. You see, if we have the lens that, hey, I got saved, I'm going to heaven. I'm not saying that's not true. Don't put me on social media, say I'm a heretic. But if that's the lens I'm always seeing, because of our human nature at times, we don't understand, yes, you've been rescued from sin. But in that rescuing, you are reborn into something brand new. You are new creatures in Christ, as Paul would talk about. So the old things are gone away, and the new things are brand new. I have a different life set if I'm just thinking I've been rescued out of something versus I'm reborn to being a new creature in Christ of something. And when I'm reborn, I can begin to see that God really doesn't make a lot of mistakes. In me, and in the world around me. But sin certainly doesn't help it. And that this book, if I start looking of kingdom down lenses, this whole book is on restoring and redemption. This whole book is bringing Israel back to God, bringing others that have lost back to God, bringing Jesus out of the one out of the 99 sheep back to God. It's all about restoring things. God didn't make a mistake when he designed this planet. So just maybe he wants to restore it. Kingdom down. Let's look at some scriptures so I don't seem like a heretic. This type of lens is, like I said, I'll just get into scripture here. Kingdom build, so that the action in kingdom lenses, kingdom building and kingdom coming, right? John 17:3. I'm just going to start reading these because we're running out of time. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, meaning God, the only true God, and Jesus, the one who sent to earth, to have eternal life, to know. You see, when I say the word kingdom, we automatically, our human instinct says a space. But divine kingdom just has to do with where is God reigning. Wherever he's reigning is where his kingdom is. You don't understand that. It's a different... So when you got saved and the security of that, kingdom started being built in you because Jesus is reigning in you through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:10, I'm going to read these. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will, meaning God, Ancient of Days, some call him in the Old Testament. Everything will come together under the authority of Jesus. And every heaven on earth, God's reign will be restoring and coming down. This is in the Bible, Ephesians. Colossians 3:4-5. And when Christ, who is yours, your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory as his coming. Revelations 21, and we will get into Revelations a little later. But my gosh, it's one of the last chapters at the end of this wonderful book. It says this, and this is John, as we know. Do we know Revelations? John had a vision and dreams. Jesus spoke into some of those visions and dream on the Isle of Patmos. The angel spoke, but then even God spoke in some of these verses too to John directly. Revelations 21, then I saw a new heaven and earth from the old heaven and the old earth disappearing. Wait a minute, I'm in heaven. Disappearing. And the sea was also gone. That analogy is in the Old Testament that Caesar, anything come out as the sea, like you'll see in Monsters more and things like that in Revelations. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven like a beautiful dress for her husband. Heaven and earth coming together. That's at the end of the book. The end. So if I have a lens on, and we can go into more scriptures on both ways. If I have more of a lens on of heaven up or kingdom down. Again, heaven up, I've been rescued. That's not a lie. I get to rest. Well, maybe. Kingdom down. Kingdom coming down. Kingdom's in you right now, and there's more to come. I've been reborn. I'm not my old person at all. And God is restoring whatever he's ever created. This lens has you see things that even you go, oh my gosh, this adds up more. Let me wind down. I know there's a lot I threw at you today, and we'll go in more next week. We understand a little bit, whether you agree or not. Do you understand? Like I said, whatever lens you want to keep wearing till your last breath or Jesus does return, because we can agree on that, you know, you're still going to be with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But the second lens, I'm a little biased more to because it gives me more depth. Because here's the concern. Somebody said, well, can I wear both lenses at the same time? Yeah, I mean, you could. Just don't go driving. But the what with heaven up mentality, And again, these are things we're discovering. This isn't the only message today. It's next week and we're going on. But let me leave with you this. The concern with heaven up lens, if you just stay with that, is unawarely, so I'll give you that disclaimer, you're not in knowing what you're doing, but the church certainly has done it over the years, we begin to make a more man-centered gospel than a kingdom gospel. You see, the difference between man-centered and kingdom gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, which is we'll get into next week, it has a lot more people involved, just myself, when you're talking kingdom. Kingdom is every believer from whenever Christ went to the grave and come up, and even our forefathers in the Old Testament. Kingdom's rather big. It goes beyond my scope of something. Because if all I want to live for is how much I got saved, and that's good, and how much I'm going to rest and never have suffering in heaven, you're not going to probably be doing what God's calling you to do now before Jesus returns. And it's a slight variation of things, because we can create a consumer gospel. God does want to bless us. He's going to be with us for eternity, so he's pretty much okay with us. That's a good thing. But what are we to do right now? Building kingdom is not with a hammer and a shovel and these tools. Building kingdom is if you've accepted Christ into your life and you've actually surrendered, where he's not just your Savior, he's your Lord, and he's leading you through the Holy Spirit daily, your tools will start coming out through the Holy Spirit. Guess what they are? Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, long-suffering, all these things that are not just for you. You will benefit from them in your life, but they're not for you can be restful and just sit and do nothing till he returns. They're for you to give that produce out to others. They are for there to do that. And these are slight variations, but churches will create a whole definite doctrine about these different things and say, that's an all lie. No, there's more that's... Satan's clever. He takes a lot of truth and divides it up so nobody can get together. Just look at the Tower of Babel. When we all came together in unity, he's changed our language so we couldn't communicate. Not everything's true. I am within time. I believe that. We'll get into that, some of that. But you got to know what lens you're looking through. Does that make sense? Yes. My gosh, let's stand. Is my car running? I got to get out of here. But it's slight, but it can go in worlds of differences on what you do now before he returns. And we'll get into details. We'll get into eschatology at some point soon in the next few weeks. We'll get into a little bit of Revelations, because you really need to make a series out of that. We will next week, I believe, if we talk for a few minutes next week about the types of lenses. Then we're going to get into Daniel 7, because that's really where the big first vision in the Old Testament that we started seeing. Oh, wait, there's something going to change soon. And then we'll get into the words himself in Matthew 24, I believe. We'll get those two maybe next week, because those are to hear our Lord and Savior say what he's saying about the end of age as well. Should not have any fear in this if you're a child of God. Should be exciting. Exciting. So yes, we are saved. We have salvation. But we also need to build kingdom, because the big kingdom's coming down soon. You need to prepare for that. And it's right there if we just read it. It's not hidden. I mean, I'm ignorant that too. I was like, whoa, this is like 3 years ago. Like, I didn't see it that way. I had the wrong lens on. Put the right lens on. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful that you were present today. And that above all, you're looking to give understanding to what's been said. Holy Spirit, always correct me if I go on my own opinions and my own thinking. Because you are the comforter, but you're also the guider and truth. And give that to me as we begin to digest this even more in the weeks ahead. Jesus, if there's somebody in this room that doesn't know you,